This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mornings with Gail. And yes, you are right. You do not hear Gail's voice again this morning. Sherry Pfeiff in for Gail at KFKA 1310 in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm so excited to be back with everybody again this week. I will be in for Gail today and tomorrow, and she will be back with you on Friday. But for those of you who don't know me, again, my name is Sherry Pfeiff. I am a lifelong resident of Greeley, Colorado, born and raised, and a investigative reporter for Complete Colorado. You hear my voice on here every once in a while. I'll come on with Gail to talk about some of the stories that I've written. And on the slim chance that she does decide to take a vacation, which finally she has chosen to do in a while, she will have me come in and fill in for her. And I love filling in for Gail. I love talking to the people out there who mean the most to me and help you get all caught up and informed on what's going on around town and around the state of Colorado. It's what I do for a living. So having a few hours every once in a while to just get up close and personal with y'all is fun. Like I said, I'll be in both today and tomorrow for Gail. Looking really forward to having, I have two very packed shows coming up, and I want to kind of just briefly go over some of that stuff so you know when to look for what we're going to be talking about. I have a lot of people scheduled to come in the next couple of days. Some people that are here quite frequently and some people that you may have never heard of on here before, but we've got definitely a lot of information for you. Later this morning at 7:35, Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams will be on with me. I recently, actually, the story will be out today. I did a story that prints today on the murder rates that across the state of Colorado that were just astounding to me. I was having a conversation with the sheriff one time here recently, and he was telling me that for the first time in his 25 years of being with the Weld County Sheriff's Department, his jail, he had more people sitting around awaiting trial in jail on some sort of felony murder charge than he had ever seen in his career history. And that kind of astounded me because he pulled a number out of the air that day. He thought there was about 30 or 35 people in Weld County alone awaiting trial for jail, and a lot of that had to do with COVID, because the court systems were so backed up that they couldn't get to them. And so they're just kind of sitting there hanging out, waiting to go to trial. But that number just seemed phenomenal to me. I mean, Weld County is about 325,000 people deep. So if you've got, 35 people sitting in jail waiting for murder trials, that just seemed phenomenal to me. So I filed a CORA request or a records request with the Weld County Sheriff's Department. But then I also filed the same requests with the Adams County Sheriff's Department and the Larimer County Sheriff's Department, because I wanted to see if Weld County was just in this weird crime wave of violence against people, or if it was statewide. And what I found was, oh, scary. It was statewide. Weld County, when I got my records request back from them, actually had 38 people awaiting trial. And this was not, as the sheriff will explain later, and as I talk about in my story, this is not two or three people out of these 38 are awaiting trial for the same crime, because you had multiple suspects. This is 38 individual people awaiting trial for some sort of felony murder, which could range anything from vehicular homicide all the way up to first degree murder. 38 individual people awaiting trial for the deaths of 44 people. So some of these were even one murder, multiple people that were murdered. Larimer County, and by the way, 18 of those 38 were first-degree murder charges. So out of the 38 in jail, 18 were actually first-degree murder charges. In Larimer County, the numbers were a little lower, but was astonishing about those numbers. So 22 people were sitting around awaiting trial. But what was astonishing about the 22 in Larimer County is 18 of those were waiting for first degree murder. So while Larimer County's total numbers were a little bit lower, the severity of the crimes were much higher. And then Adams County, that was a little bit more difficult to get that information. At first, they weren't too excited about cooperating, but eventually they gave me some information. And so Adams County had, I think it was 43 people awaiting trial. However, I don't know how many of those were for first-degree murder, as that was not information that I was able to glean from Adams County. But the sheriff will be on with me later to talk about, in my story, I talk with both Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams and former 18th Judicial District Attorney George Brockler about why we're seeing this uphill tick, because it's not just murder that has gone up, but crime in general has gone up. So Sheriff Reams will be on with me 7:35 to discuss that and find out exactly what is on tap there. Then at 8:05, I will have House District 51 Representative and House Minority Leader Hugh McKean is going to join me to have kind of a wrap-up of the 2021 legislative session. You know, what happened and what does the future look like for Republicans in Colorado? We all know that the Republicans are in the minority. House District 51 is on the Larimer County side of I-25. Hugh represents Loveland. And I think parts of Berthoud are in there. I'm not exactly sure, but I know he represents all of Loveland and several, a little bit more of that area over there. But he's the minority leader in the House, and he'll come on to talk to me about what is going on in the state legislature. I pulled a story from the Colorado Sun. The headline is Colorado lawmakers passed 502 bills during this year's legislative session, and here are 65 that you need to know about. So the Colorado Sun pulled out 65 bills, and we'll talk about some of those later this morning, but pulled out 65 bills that they felt we needed to know about out of 502 that were passed. Well, if only 65 bills out of 502 are important to know about, what was the state legislature doing with the other 437? I mean, what did 437 bills, what are those going to look like in your life? So we're going to talk to Hugh a little bit about that, and I'll go over some of these bills that you probably should know about and what they plan to do for you. And then just a real quick rundown, we'll get into a little bit more of this a little bit later as well, but tomorrow at 7:05, I'm excited to have on the Greeley Parks and Recreation Director, Andy McRoberts, will come on with me. Many of you have rang my phone off terribly over the last few weeks. If you drive past Bittersweet Park in Greeley on 35th Avenue, it has looked to be a disaster for a while. And there's reasons for that. And Andy will come on tomorrow to explain to everybody why the park looks to be in dire straits. The city doesn't believe that it's in dire straits. They've made some changes to the type of grass seed that's in there. And because of some heavy spring weather and heavy spring rain and weeds and stuff, they've had a little bit of issues trying to get to that. So when we come back, I will let you know a little bit more about what's going on, and then we'll dive into the first topic of the day, which is going to be House Bill 1266 and why everybody's begging our governor to veto it.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. Today's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310KFKA.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Sherry Pipe in this morning for Gail, Mornings with Gail, 1310 KFKA and 1310KFK.com from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm so excited to be with everybody. And if you can't tell how excited I am, just notice the nervousness in my voice when it comes time to do traffic and weather. That's generally where I stumble. I can't get a computer to work, or I can't get something going because I got papers spread out all across my desk trying to remember everything that it is that I have to do. So bear with me this morning. Generally, by the time the show is over, I have it down pat. So we'll get there one way or another. But hey, thanks thanks for tuning in this morning. I'm really excited to be here. I was telling you all about the jam-packed shows that we've got coming up. And tomorrow, as I was talking, I'll have Greeley's director of Parks and Rec, Andy McRoberts, will come on to talk about what's going on out at Bittersweet Park. They've made some changes out there, and the grass is bothering quite a few of the people around town. So he'll come on and explain why it looks the way it looks. Then at 7:35 tomorrow, I will have the Colorado Republican Party Chairwoman, Christy Burton Brown, is going to come on to talk to me. Christy recently called for an investigation into the governor. She called for this late last week because another media outlet, Colorado Public Radio, put out a very extensive report on the governor and how the COVID deaths affected the nursing homes. And this report was, I can't even begin to tell you how long this report was. I'm actually going to put the story up later today on my Facebook page. Simply Sherry is where you can find it. And Sherry is spelled S-H-E-R-R-I-E. So if you get a chance, take a look at it and read it so that you'll know what's going on tomorrow morning when Christy comes on. But Colorado at one point actually had more deaths of elderly than any state in the United States in its nursing homes. And a lot of those deaths had to do with lack of testing, slow testing, false positives, false negatives. It was all over the place. Paying companies to do the testing that were unreputable. There were all kinds of problems with Colorado's COVID issues when it came to nursing homes. And this report squarely put the blame on this right on the governor's shoulders. And so the governor has refused to talk about it. He's refused to give comment to anybody on this story. I have put the feelers out to the governor. I've told him that he is more than willing. I've given him the call-in line here to 1310 tomorrow to call in and talk to us while I'm talking to Christy, because Christy's calling for a full investigation into this to find out exactly what the problem was and how much blame should be laid and whether or not there should be some culpability on the part of the state health department and the governor of Colorado. He has refused to talk about it to this point, so I'm not holding my breath. But at the same time, the governor and I have had an interesting relationship over the years, and he has done some things that have surprised me in the past when it's come to myself and responding to me. So, hey, who knows? He may call in, he may not. We'll see what happens. I hope he does, because I'd really like to hear from him and hear what he has to say about it. But so Christy will be on with me tomorrow at 7:35. And then at 8:05, I will have former Greeley mayor and former Colorado Department of Transportation director Tom Norton will be on with me. I know you've heard the side quite frequently from Jared File and the Colorado Department of Transportation have talked at length about this bill that was passed, Senate Bill 260. That is purporting to raise money for state transportation. And I know we've heard a lot about that and from that side. But I'm going to talk to former Mayor Tom Norton, who many of you may not know was also at one point the director of the Colorado Department of Transportation. And I'm going to talk to Tom and find out what Tom thinks about this, because he's got some other ideas about how wonderful this bill may or may not be. And then last but not least, at 8:35 tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a brief little segment with a resident out of Ault. Her name's Cleta Troxell. She's going to come on, and she is a local Weld County GOP activist. She is going to talk about the Lincoln Day Dinner and what exactly the Lincoln Day Dinner is, what it has to do with politics, what it will do for you. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some of the things that she's involved in to try to hopefully get you guys all involved in as well. So that is my week, or my next couple of days, I should say. So it's definitely full of fun. I hope you stick around. I hope you hang out and join us. It'll definitely be an informative show. That said, for the next few minutes, while we are waiting to get started here, I want to talk a little bit over the next couple of segments about, and I know Gail has talked about this as well, House Bill 1266. It's at the top of everybody's minds right now, and it's definitely something that we're waiting to see what happens at the governor's office. I recently did a story on this. It's on Complete Colorado, page 2. You can find it. Headline, Weld County joins chorus of voices asking Polis to veto backdoor emissions deal. This was a sneaky deal that the House got into. And, you know, it started off with House Bill Senate Bill 200, when they wanted to put in all kinds of cap and trade regulations on the oil and gas industry. And the governor came out and said, nope, can't do it. I'm going to veto it. It's too staunch. We have 30 years to get to this emissions section. We're not going to do these things. And he threatened to veto it. And so that bill crashed terribly. And they sent it off to the side and said, okay, no, we won't do it. But then at the very last, and this is one thing I want to talk to Hugh about tomorrow as well, is how these things slide through the way they slide through. Because over the course of 120 days, the state legislature took its time. The House went through 1266 with a fine-tooth comb. They went through all the processes. They went through committee. Then they went to the floor for the first reading. And then they went to the floor for second reading. And then they went to the floor for third reading. And then they finally passed it. And then they sent it on to the Senate. And then the Senate took a look at it in committee. And the Senate. But all of a sudden, at the very end of the 11th hour, the very last day of session, they added Senator Faith Winter came in and added a 25-page amendment to House Bill 1266. 25 pages. Now, Colorado has something called a single subject law, which means you get one subject. You don't want to confuse the voters. You don't want to confuse your constituents. So you get one subject. Well, when you add 25 pages of something new to an already 100-page document, what do you think those 25 pages did? Well, they just added a whole new subject to a bill that had nothing to do with the 25 pages of information that they added. Basically, they took Senate Bill 200, which the governor threatened to veto, and Senator Winter condensed it down to 25 pages, slammed it into House Bill 1266, and then miraculously, over the course of a day, the Senate approved it in committee, approved it on the floor, or excuse me, didn't go to committee. Nobody got a chance to testify on it. Approved it on the floor on first reading, turned around, sent it back to, or approved it on second, approved it on third, sent it back to the House. The House was able to concur with the changes and approve it again, all in one day. And this is something that should have taken weeks to propose, but they got it done all in one day. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about this bill and what the problems are with it. This is Sherry in for Gail. Get Mornings with Gail in the Auto Collision Specialist Studio, 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Today's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310KFKA.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sherry Pipe in for Gail this morning on Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studio. So excited to be here. So what does establishing a standalone emissions cap and trade system for the benefit of the Teslas of the world have in common with the creation of an environmental justice program for disproportionately impacted communities? That was a mouthful. But that is the question that my colleagues at the Independence Institute, so Complete Colorado, the newspaper that I work, or the online organization that I work for, is owned by the Independence Institute. And our in-house attorney, Shane Madsen, as well as another member of our legal group, Tyler Baker, wrote an op-ed for Complete Colorado, and the headline is Baker and Madsen, Harmful Policy, Dishonest Process, Why Governor Polis Should Veto House Bill 1266. Listen, the Independence Institute is not the only company or the only people that have called for a veto of this bill. There are requests for vetoes coming in all over the place. In fact, there has been about 20 Chamber of Commerce's, utility companies, energy and other trade and business associations have also sent letters to the governor urging his veto of this horrible, horrible bill. Mostly because it's the same bill that he threatened to veto earlier in the session. Senate Bill 200, he thought was too extreme, and he threatened to veto it. So its sponsor, Senator Faith Winter, chose instead to wait until the last hour and take her bill, condense it down to 25 pages, and throw it into a bill that had already passed the House and was now in the Senate. And so we are going to amend this bill and basically just turn it into a little miniature Senate Bill 200. And so in this article by Shane and Tyler, they talk about what exactly this does. And their answer to the question, what does establishing a standalone emissions cap and trade system for the benefit of the Teslas of the world have in common with the creation of an environmental justice program for disproportionately impacted communities? Well, the answer for everyone but most of the Democrats in the Colorado legislature is nothing. They have nothing to do with each other. The two concepts are separate and distinct, says Madsen. Legislative issues that would normally require considerable public notice and debate, including an analysis of a high price tag of a cap and trade system. If you remember back a few years ago, to put this into simple terms, and I don't know how much more simple to make it, it's a complicated situation. But if you remember back a few years ago, the state of Colorado passed, as part of their clean emissions stuff, a bill that requires auto manufacturers to create vehicles that would be all electric, and a percentage of those vehicles that they sold in Colorado. And I don't remember what the exact percentages were. It was a couple sessions ago, but I'm just going to pretend. Let's say that Chevy had to have 10% of its vehicles had to be electric that were sold in the next couple of years. If Chevy didn't hit those 10%, or Nissan or Ford or anybody else didn't hit that 10% mark, which is what I think it actually started at, and then it moves up to like 25%. But if they don't hit that mark, they have to buy what they call credits from a company that does hit that mark. And that credit money goes to that company to satisfy the clean energy. Well, the only company in the planet with electric vehicles that will ever meet that mark is Tesla. At the time that I did the stories and the time this bill went through, the Musk brothers and Tesla were, this all happened during the John Hickenlooper era. And the Musk brothers, as we all know, are really good friends with the Hickenloopers. In fact, one of the Musk brothers actually officiated a wedding, Hickenlooper actually officiated a wedding ceremony on behalf of one of the Musk brothers back in the day. And so basically what happened when this bill went into play is that Governor Hickenlooper said, well, Chevy, if you don't meet your goal, you're going to have to give money to my buddy Elon over here and help him out, making sure that, you know, he gets more money and that his company stays afloat. And so that's exactly what this does. This bill, 1266, kind of does the same thing. In a nutshell, in a 30,000-foot view, if you are an electric company or an oil and gas company or some sort of fossil fuel company, and you don't meet this cap, this emissions cap that the government is saying you have to meet, well, then you're going to trade off. And how are you going to trade off? You're going to trade off by buying credits from none other than, oh yeah, the Musk brothers again. We keep giving the Musk brothers more and more money in this state than we need to be giving them. Every time something goes into play, they are the ones that are benefiting from all of these regulations that are being passed nationwide on these cap and trade agreements. So Madsen goes on to talk about what the consequences of cap and trade are. There are numerous troubling issues that House Bill 1266 as amended presents. One being the sheer cost of establishing the cap and trade program. We're not even going to talk about who gets money here. What we're talking about now is how do you even establish this program? The total budget for HB 1266 is $2.5 million, with 75% of that $2.5 million being allocated to the Air Quality Control Commission and the new cap and trade program. The bill sets forth the following language, quote, $1.4 million for use by the Air Pollution Control Division for personal services related to stationary sources, which amount is based on an assumption that the division will require an additional 20.4 full-time employees. Okay, they're setting aside $1.4 million to create yet one more bureaucracy in the state of Colorado to employ 20 and a half more people in the state of Colorado to be able to tell you how and when you're going to cap your use of fossil fuels. The other $500,000 is going to be for use by the Air Pollution Control Division for operating costs. So $2.5 million to create a new government bureaucracy just to put the cap and trade program in place. This doesn't even start with what it's going to cost the state otherwise. This is just to put the program in place. $2.5 million and yet one more bureaucratic department in the for the state. Madsen says, moreover, the addition of the cap and trade program undermines the entire purpose of the Democrats' so-called environmental justice initiative. That's what 1266 was supposed to be about. This idea that there's some sort of environmental justice that needs to be played out. But the problem is cap and trade programs, Madsen writes, have historically negatively affected poorer communities and households. The point of such a system is to raise prices of dirty energy to force companies to go to cleaner sources. However, when the prices of fossil fuel go up, households with limited incomes are affected the most. So this idea that this bill will somehow make everything better for those who are disproportionately affected by dirty energy, it's regressive again. We talk about this all the time with taxes. When taxes are raised, taxes are almost always regressive. They almost always impact the sector of our community that is the hardest hit, the low income. And they continue to be done under this guise of helping that sector, but yet their policies in and of themselves hurt that sector the most. According to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, low-income households spend a larger share of their budget on energy than better-off households do. Sherry Witt Brown, the executive director of the Greeley Weld Habitat for Humanity, voiced these same concerns at the April 20th SB 200 hearing. Witt Brown said, "This legislation will impact the communities we serve by driving up energy costs for low-income families at a time when they are already struggling to get by." The president just extended the rent moratorium, the eviction moratorium on renters, I think until the end of July or something. I can't remember when he extended it to. But we're still extending the eviction moratorium on renters because they can't pay their rent. So now let's up their fuel costs by forcing these companies into these cap and trade programs. And that's exactly what Sherry Witt Brown was saying. This is exactly what SB 200 would have done. Well, guess what? SB 200 just got kind of slid into 1266, and that's what we have in 1266. And that's why all of these folks are coming out and saying, "Governor, do what you promised. Veto this bill." Because while 1266 may have been something you were okay with, your friends, your comrades, your party slid exactly what you didn't want into this bill because they were upset with you because you weren't jumping on their bandwagon back when they started it off in the first place. I think Weld County Commissioner Lori Sain, back to my story that I did, you know, Weld County Commissioner Lori Sain said it best when she called it sneaky and underhanded. You know, she said, excluding those who would be impacted the most from the discussions and testimony before a committee was sneaky and underhanded. She went on to say, and I apologize, it is unacceptable to put a subject matter that couldn't pass on its own merit in another bill without a full vote from the state legislature or testimony from the people, Sain said. That is exactly what has happened here. This bill not only hurts those that they're trying to help the most, but it violates Colorado's single subject matter. It didn't allow anybody to comment on it, to give testimony on it. Most people didn't even recognize it was happening. And the strict emissions enforcement for reductions in the oil and gas industrial and electric sectors in order to create cleaner energy was just not fair and not right. As I said before, Weld County was not alone. People all across the state are opposing this. Back to Commissioner saying, she told my colleagues in their thing, quote, "The rush to rulemaking does not leave enough time for outreach, engagement, and meaningful conversation with the stated goal of in-person meetings with these disproportionately impacted communities." In the June 7th Senate Finance Committee, Sane noted in her testimony, "The fact is that the new amendments from the previous SB 200 are taking valuable time away from discussing the more critical aspects of HB 1266. This is an affront to the importance of the mission of HB 1266, which purportedly was to reduce the real burdens on our disproportionately impacted communities, not to kowtow to environmental organizations who insert their special interests last minute to confuse and suppress the voice of the grassroots." I know that was a lot, but it was, I guess, bottom line. Call the governor's office, send the emails, do what you need to do. This is a bill that needs to get vetoed and a bill that everybody, most everybody across the state, is getting behind to do that. When we come back, Sherry Pipe in for Gail, we will talk about my upcoming conversation with Sheriff Steve Reams and what is going on with the murder suspects across Colorado. 1310 KFKA, Sherry Pipe in for Gail.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. More local talk coming up next with NOCO Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Sherry Pipe in for Gail in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios this morning. So happy to be with you. You know, I was joking. No traffic. I was joking with the producer, Ryan, during commercial break. I feel like I'm rambling sometimes. And I know that's exactly what a radio talk show host is supposed to do. And, you know, when I was growing up, my dad used to always tell me that I should be an attorney because I could talk people into anything. And no, instead, I became a journalist. And every once in a while, I play in radio. And the one thing that I just cannot get used to in radio is talking to nobody, technically. You know what I mean? There's like nobody sitting in front of me except for my producer. And unless I stare at him the whole time and make him feel nervous, you know, I'm just kind of out there talking. And so sometimes I feel like I'm just rambling. And I might be. But hey, you know, that's part of it. But I love being with you guys. And I love talking about the stories that are important to Colorado and to Greeley and Weld County. Which leads us to, in the last few minutes that we have in this first hour of the day, kind of want to talk a little bit about what is going on with the jail and who's sitting in it. I had an opportunity, I speak with the sheriff quite frequently. He's a friend. I've known Sheriff Reams since before he was sheriff, when I was education reporter at the Greeley Tribune. Sheriff Reams was a school board member in the Gilchrist, the Weld RE1 school district out in Gilchrist. And that's where I actually met Steve, was when he was on the Board of Education out there in Gilchrist for the Valley School District. And some of you may not have known that. Ryan kind of looked like he had a inquisitive look on his face when I said he was on the school board, but he was. And that's how I met Steve. So I talked to him quite frequently about various things. And we were talking one time here recently, and he was telling me that in all of these bad, bad, bad bills that have been coming up aimed at law enforcement, that he thought he had about 33, 34 suspects in his jail who were awaiting trial for murder. And that just absolutely floored me. I could not believe that Weld County would have that many suspects. But they do. I did a records request as well as one with Adams and Larimer. And when we come back after the top of the hour break, we'll get a little bit more into it. But the numbers and everything will just be astounding. Right now it is 6:57, and this time check is sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, where Shrek the Musical takes center stage through August 22nd. For tickets and show information, visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Sherry Pipe in for Gail.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Carr of Fat Guys at the Movies here. Don't forget to listen to my show every Saturday on KFKA. Now back to Mornings with Gail.
And it is now 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Loveland, Fort Collins. Thanks for joining us. It is 7 o'clock.